Amen. So good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to a great day in the Lord. So glad you're here today and expecting God to meet with us and bless us in a special way. Amen. Let's lift our hands together and worship the Lord this morning. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, we've come to magnify you, to glorify your name, that name that's above every other name. Jesus, your name is holy. Your name is precious, God. There is none like you. Thank you, God, for mercy today. Hallelujah. Blessed be that name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't we magnify him together this morning? Come on, let's worship him together right now. I know it's early. Let's get our minds together right now as they sing. Hallelujah. We've come to magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise, for he is worthy. course. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still?
Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?
Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Can you imagine? Sir.
Championship, whatever it is. They have what's called a celebration where the team goes through the streets and the fans line the streets and they celebrate. And the reason why they celebrate and the reason why it's so easy to celebrate is because it's fresh on their minds. And the reason why lots of people have a problem shouting unto God with a voice of triumph is because they ain't got no fresh victory. Forward to a great service in the Lord here today. Also, of course, ladies prayer Tuesday morning, Wednesday night here midweek. Brother Randy Armstrong is going to be preaching. You don't want to miss midweek service here at the UPC of Paris. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday morning, I'm excited about this. My pastor, Brother Ken Smith, is going to be preaching for us in that service. Please don't miss next Sunday morning. It's going to be a great day here at 10 o'clock. God's going to move in a special way. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this offering. We ask you to bless it today, Lord. Bless this team as they sing one more song today. God, bless the ministry of the word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Here right now, here right now. all stand together as Brother Proctor comes today. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. God, you're holy. God, you're worthy. God, you're righteous today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to be back in my hometown. Brother Griffith used to say, our 300-pound baby. Well, I don't weigh 300 pounds now, thank you. But I got tickled last night. We was asleep. I thought everybody was asleep. And I got up, and I heard a voice say, "You're not hungry. Get back in this bed." I went back to bed like a good husband, and I weighed a pound less this morning. I'm so happy. I tell you, by the time we get through, I'm going to look like a snail in 6 months. Sister Kim, it's so good to see you again. And I met Sister Kim years ago at Dollar Store, and also good to have your husband here. And y'all just start coming here all the time. You'll like it. I promise you, you'll get attached to it. And they'll treat you so many ways, you'll like one of them and you'll just hang around. But Kim called one of her cousins and said, "Do you know a John Proctor?" And that's how it all started. And every time I'm preaching here, just about, she would show up. Well, I forgot about her over the years, and just with life moving on, I think about her from time to time, but I wonder how she's doing. And last night I got a text, "Are you preaching in the morning or tomorrow night?" I said, "In the morning." She said, "We'll be there." And I like that, "We're going to be there." I appreciate you coming, sir. And I've heard nothing but good about you. Thank you, Pastor Davis, for allowing us to be here. I tell you, I love this man. I love his wife. And I remember your wife when she was a little bit younger than what she is now. But I was always gone. I'd just come in and out. But here she is, the first lady of the church today. God's got a unique way of doing things. God has blessed this city with a good man of God and a good woman of God. And those of you who don't know them, you need to get to know them, because they're wonderful people. And he's an honest man. He's a very sincere man. You can feel it when you're around him. In fact, sometimes when I get to talking to him, I get to check in my spirit, making sure it's right, because I'm wondering if he can look through me. But I appreciate you, Brother Davis, and very much. Well, let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. And just going to talk to you about some things on my heart today. And we was talking to the Lord. Yesterday was a very special day. 55 years ago yesterday, Brother Jerry, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. September the 6th, 1970. I was 17 years old in the old sanctuary, 14 pew back. Got up. Brother Jack D. Hart said, "Anybody would like to make your way right with the Lord?" I went down at 12:15, at a quarter to one, I got up, and God had filled me with the Holy Ghost, and somebody lied to me. They told me, "When you get the Holy Ghost, all your troubles will be over." Baby, when I got the Holy Ghost, all hell broke loose on me. And I got news for you, I'm a fighter. I'm a Cherokee. I'm a fighter. And I told hell, I said, "You're going to see hell out of me. You're not gonna put up with your lies." I did for a long time. But I'm here to tell you, this church is fixing to be endued with the power from God. I feel the spirit of prophecy right now. There's going to be an anointed wave of God that's going to move upon the people that are hungry. And God's going to shake this city through this church. 1 Samuel chapter 5, "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon." Notice it. They set it beside Dagon. "And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. It was setting by Dagon, but now Dagon is on its face before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again." I wouldn't serve a God that couldn't get up on his own two feet. My God, have mercy. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left of him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come from into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. With the help of the Lord, I'm just going to talk to you about it's time to start talking back to the devil and tell him, put it back where you got it and leave it alone. Somebody say it with authority. Put it back and leave it alone. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm so good. I'm so happy to have my sweet, lovely wife. She doesn't usually like to say much, but I will say this. She's a sweetheart. I live with her. She's a sweetheart. And she's got to be to live with me. And don't ever play dominoes with her. God have mercy. I went in there roaring like a lion, walked out purring like a kitten. She skint me. She skint me alive last night. It was bad. She called my daughter and said, guess who's crying? She said, who's crying, Mom? Your daddy. I'm beating him. But it was fun. I love you, sweetheart. You're so much fun to be with. Well, put it back and leave it alone. The Bible says the Philistines took the Ark of God. It was not the box itself that the devil wanted to get out of possession of Israel. It was what was inside of that box. See, it was nothing but shittim wood overlaid with pure gold. But inside of that box was Aaron's rod that budded and brought forth almonds, which was typification of the miraculous power of God. It was a golden vessel full of manna, which was typification of the ever-providing power of God. And then it was the Ten Commandments, which is the word of the living God. Now, I want you to understand that the devil, he attacks us. If you say, well, I'm not under attack, you better watch out. Come on, if there's something you're not dealing with, you better be careful. Because the devil never attacks anything he's already got. If you're getting comfortable in the house of God and nothing's bothering you, but you come to the house of God and you say, I battled to get here, good, because it tells me you're gaining ground. The devil does everything he can. See, he does not want what you've got. I've heard people say he's attacking my children. No, he's going through your children to get what you've got on the inside of you. He's attacking my health. You know, I've had a few health problems. My wife got some health problems. And so lately someone said, you're under attack from the devil. I said, I'm not going to give the devil credit for nothing. There's a scripture we overlook. It said, and time and chance happens to them all. People get sick. People get tired. People have problems. Anybody in here got trouble? Now the rest of you liars, go ahead and raise. Job said, man's days are few and full of it. Somebody say, I'm full of it. Yeah, you are. I am too. Come on, you get up one morning. I get up in the mornings and I get so tickled in myself. Well, I get aggravated sometimes because, Brother Jerry, when I get up, I'm like this. But give me about 5 minutes, I'm a ball of fire. Come on, it's called age. I'm 71 years old. I'll be 72 in March. I cannot do the things I used to do. I remember I used to stand up and put my trousers on and hold them out like this. Brother Jerry, I'd jump up and just jump in them and snap them and take off. And here while back, I went, nah, not today. And my father just sat on the side of the bed, son, you dasn't do these fooling things no more. Same thing with women. But the devil, he'll attack your mind and tell you, you don't love God like you used to love God. Can I say something to someone that may be a new mother? Some women, the closest they come to backsliding is when their babies is infant. It's an infant baby, because the devil will attack them and tell them, you don't pray like you used to. You can't pray like you used to. You can't do the things like you used to. Now you can pray in your heart, but yet you got to keep your mind and your eyes upon that baby. Don't let the devil torment your mind. Just because you've got sickness in your body, it does not mean you got sin in your heart. It means there's something going on in your life. Come on, we need to get this thing straight. We got some people, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. One body, one kid at school, high school, one of my cousins is here, and he come up to me this morning. He said, hey, John. I said, man, we had fun at school. He said, we run that place. Well, we did. We had fun. You remember the time I tell them kids, I'm going to bust you in your eye. You kids, say it again, I'll bust that eye. And them kids started telling each other they're going to bust each other's eye. We had a lot of fun. But I'm telling you, I learned some things. I love young people. I've got confidence in young people. Young people, they just got something about them that I used to have. See, somebody asked me, said, can you do what you used to? I said, yes, but it just takes me a month to get it done now, where I used to could just get it done. But the thing of it is, you got to understand, when you're battling in the spirit, when you're attacking, then you got to learn how to talk back to the devil. Brother Jerry Newberry, if we could talk back to the devil as much as we talk back to one another, there's no telling what God would do in our churches. Come on, somebody hear me. I feel what I'm feeling. I know what I'm feeling. I can feel a spirit trying to rise up. But if I do that, come on, don't be a sissy all of your life. Stand up and take authority. Stand up and tell the devil, I'm blood bought. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I have the anointing of God in my life. And nothing and no one can stop me. If I fall, I'll get up. If I sin, I'll repent. But I will not stop. It's not time to stop. It's time to keep going. Come on, somebody stand up and say, yeah. So it was not that box overlaid with gold. It was not that box. It was what was on the inside of that box. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest in the flesh, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God did not fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you do not have the Holy Ghost, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. But he does not want to give you the Holy Ghost for you to be a pretty Pentecostal. That's not what he wants. He wants you to destroy the works of the devil. He wants you to take authority over hell and tell the devil, you're not going to have your way in my home. When's the last time you walked through your house and tell him, you're not welcome here? I do weird things. Y'all know me. Most of y'all know me. Well, not most. Most are gone. But some of y'all know me well. I've been known in my own house to walk over to the door, open it up, and say, get out! Get out! You remember when you tell a kid to do something, you'll say, put that back. Kids know how to test you. They cut them eyes at you. Give you those little puppy dog eyes. Alex used to tell me, he said, Pop, it's my medicine. I said, it's fixing to be your back end when I get through with it. You better get your act straightened out, son. You in a heap of trouble. I really got him one time. I took him to the bedroom, and he was been cutting up. And on the way back there, I got to feeling bad, and I said, Alex, Pop don't want to whoop you. I love you, but you're going to have to mind me. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. When I hit the mattress, I want you to holler, ow. So I took a bar, and boy, I hit that mattress. He's, ow! Ow! Now, on the way back to the bedroom, he was like this. When he looked at me, when he come back, I left the house right after that. He come back out of the bedroom, and he said, whew, you don't want Pop getting a hold of you. He's bad. Come on, I'm here to tell you, but you got to take authority over things in your life. Come on, we can. Are you going to get to? Are you going to be one of those that complacent and say, "Well, this is just the way it's meant to be"? I don't believe that. I don't believe it's meant for you to be sad all the time. I don't believe it's meant for you to have a troubled marriage all the time. I don't believe it's meant the will of God for you to be depressed all the time. I believe it's the will of God for people to walk in victory, for people to have the joy of the Lord in their heart. I believe it's the will of God for you to walk in the Spirit and to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I do believe you can live a victorious life. I don't believe you got to live in sin. If you sin, repent. But get up and get up and get up and get up until you get the victory. Come on, somebody praise him. Give me 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Your money did not redeem you. Your house cannot redeem you. Your bass boat cannot redeem you. I was telling Brother Griffith earlier, we was just discussing a few things, and he mentioned about prayer meetings we used to have. And I remember those old prayer meetings. Benny Brown, Brother Roland Kinnemer, some of you may remember him. But Brother Roland Kinnemer, myself, we was in the prayer room. And back then, the prayer room was back here at the back, that far back room. And we was in there praying one night. As we began to pray, the three of us began to rejoice in the Lord. And then, Brother Davis, we heard a fourth voice. And the fourth voice was praising God. We stopped and looked around. There was nobody there we could see, but there was an angelic host that showed up. If you want the presence of God, stop your internal complaining and get up and take authority. We used to be the church across the track, but no more. But the problem is with some people, God's blessed them, and you're going to let your blessing be a curse because you don't worship God like you used to worship God. You don't fight like you used to fight. Come on, get up and fight. Get up and fight. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I like what the missionary did over there in one of the countries in the continent of Africa. The little grass huts. People there, I read something the other day. I thought it was moving. It was to me. You say, well, is it true? Well, I don't know. Some of you repeat stuff. You don't know if it's true or not. If it's good, I'm going to repeat it. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. There was one of the little tribes over there in Africa. When the 9/11 happened, they donated 14 cows to the United States government. You say 14 cows, you don't understand. In those little countries where they don't have nothing, they was given everything they had. Do you remember when you first come to God? I remember my shoes didn't fit right. My clothes had holes in them. My shirts had holes underneath the sleeve. And I've got to be honest with you. I wasn't the cleanest person in the church. I didn't smell too good. I didn't know about D.O. for the B.O. I didn't brush my teeth. My God! You're supposed to brush them once a month. Well, at least a week. You didn't take a bath every day. My Lord, you're just wasting water. Just if you pass the sniff test, you're doing good. I told Sister Proctor one time, she said, you need to change shirts. I said, it passed the sniff test. She said, not here. Of course, I was just teasing Pete. But when I come to God, I didn't understand a lot of things. Sister Jane, when they said worship God, I thought I was supposed to run the aisles when they took up the offering. I thought I was supposed to shout when somebody said, hey, Aunt Sudie just got healed. Well, I thought it's time to dance and run the aisles. And we used to do those things. And we had prayer meetings that last all night long. But guess where we're at today? The enemy whispers in our ear and tells us you're not worthy. No, I'm not worthy, but I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. That missionary was laying in his hut that night, and his bed started shaking. And it shook, and it shook, and he could feel. You know, I'm sure you felt it, that old eerie feeling. You're in the house by yourself. You may even be in the house of God, and you can feel that clammy, eerie, that spooky feeling come over you. And that missionary sat up. That bed was shaking, he said. It shook out to the middle of the hut, and he stood and sat up, and he said, the Lord rebukes you. And it stopped shaking. Now, Brother Jerry, I like that, but I like what the missionary did too. He said, now put it back where you got it. And so the bed started shaking until it got back where it was. Come on, it's time to tell the devil, get your hands off of me. Get your hands off of my family. Get your hands off of my finances. Come on now, if you're blowing your money, you can't blame the devil. I've had people actually tell me, pray, the devil's attacking my finances. I walk by their car, you can't see no floorboard. It's full of McDonald's, Krispy Kreme. That ain't the devil. Yeah, you got it. Why won't God bless me with more money so I can go to Outback? Have you looked back? You got too much. You don't need to go to Outback. Come on, it's time for us to get real with this thing. This is a battle, brother. It's not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. And hell has come up against the church of the living God. We need men and women that can rise to their feet in this day and say, you're going to put back what you told, what you took from me. No, I'm not coming to your camp. You're going to bring it back. Now, Pastor, we got a lot of things going on in Pentecost that bothers me. We got praise leader to get up and say, our job is to usher in the presence of God. How can you usher in somebody that's already there? No, no, praise team. Your God is not to usher in. Your God is just to lead. And we're to follow and worship. He was here all night long, just waiting for you to show up. Got some crazy ideas. Well, you know, if it be the Lord's will, I'll be at church. Well, it must have been the Lord's will if you go to McDonald's. Must have been the Lord's will to go to Walmart. My God, I can feel it already. Go back to the old days, Pastor. When we were the first persons to get there and the last ones to leave. The altars were filled with tears. People lingered in the presence of God. They wasn't worried about what the cowboys are doing. They wasn't worried about what the world is doing. They was worried about what God's going to do. God, stir up my heart. Stir up the gift of God that is within you. He didn't say he's going to do it. He said you do it. Had a pastor telling me about it. Said when he was evangelizing, he heard the pastor's wife praying. He said, man, I was impressed at 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, God. He said, I peeked around out the window. My wife said, come here, what'd you say this? And she had a deck of cards. She said, oh, God. Just playing cards. Come on, that's not praying. Now, come on, and when you get along with God, you shut everything else out. And you got your mind made up. I'm not going to leave until God touches me. Sister Davis, I'll tell you a story. There you is. You're so little I can't see you. Got to look through my bifocals. I got to wear bifocals now. The other day I saw a fly. I thought it was a buzzard. Sister David, let me tell you about your grandpa. Every day your grandpa, Malvern Smith, he'd come pick me up. We'd go work in his garden. Then we'd come over here to the church and we'd pray. Now, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I was raised in a home that there was all kinds of spirits in that home. I'm not talking about attitudes. I'm talking about demonic spirits. And so I remember so well one night. We had, there was no staircase in that house. And I heard someone, you know, there's a different sound of coming down than there is of going up. And I heard the voice, the footsteps of something coming down a staircase. And I'm thinking, there's no staircase here. And that spirit walked into the room and stood over my bed. I was just a little boy. It was the most hideous thing I ever saw in my life. And for years, I was bound with fear. And when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, see, this nonsense, people say, well, if they had the Holy Ghost, they'd been over that. Well, you hadn't got over holding grudges. You hadn't got over gossiping. You hadn't got over being hateful. You hadn't got over being rude. Come on, we're going to let them grow. Come on, Lise, clear your throat. I'm not going to hurt you. Clear your throat. Brother Malvin Smith, that night I was praying. I wasn't scared of nobody, but I was scared of the dark. I would not even come in this church by myself. I would not let anybody know. But Brother Malvin Smith, he was a sensitive man in the spirit. He was a true man of God. Never preached a sermon that I know of. He was never a man that that people just lauded over. This is so and so, we're glad. No. But he was quiet. He didn't have a lot to say. He was a humorous person in his own way. But I heard him praying, giving grace, Lord. Giving grace, Lord. And my spirit picked up on his spirit. I knew who he was praying for. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, go in the prayer room. The prayer rooms at that time were behind the platform. And he said, and the Lord said, I will deliver you. But I had to take authority. Come on, somebody. Before you get over what you're going through right now, you're going to have to take authority. I walked in there, and I'll be honest with you, I was scared. I could see all kinds of things in my mind. I could feel things that I felt for years. It was the worst few moments I had ever spent in my life. I knelt down and my voice was shaking. I said, Lucifer, if you kill me, I'm going to heaven. If you don't, I'm getting delivered. And I prayed. It took me a few moments. And then the power of God hit me. Thank God for the power for prayers of Malvern Smith. You've got a heritage to be proud of. I'm here to tell somebody, you're here today because somebody prayed for you. We can't afford to let them down. We got to get up and fight the good fight of faith like we've never fought it. Brother Jerry, your mother was a very godly, a very beautiful woman, very godly. I'll never forget the times when I used to watch her shout and dance in front of the whole church because she didn't care. She knew what God had done for her. I was in a church one time. I want to show you a little thing. I want you to clap your hands. Come on. Now, don't say amen. Don't say amen. Don't do that. Just clap your hands. Now, don't that sound spiritual? Oh, that's good enough. You're going to get used to it. Don't that sound spiritual? I was in a church one time, and I said, let's worship the Lord. And that's all they did. I said, you're not in a stupid city council meeting. You're in the presence of a living God. He doesn't want your approval. That's what they do in city council meetings. He wants your praise. Come on, have you lost your praise? Tell the devil, put it back and leave it alone. Oh, my God, I've still seen revivals where they carried them home talking in tongues. And they say 3 o'clock in the morning, they're still talking in tongues. I still see revivals when people are slain in the spirit. Well, Brother Proctor, we've graduated. Have you really? I don't think so, baby, because the church is the church. And he's got a remnant that's going to get up and face hell head on and say, I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do about me. Devil, put back my joy and leave it alone. Hallelujah. I went through a real trying time. It was tough, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, I'm sending you somebody to to help you. And the Lord sent me my wife. You know how some people got crazy minds. How long have you known her? Well, first of all, I never met her until after my wife died. Secondly, it's really none of your business. I said, I never seen her. I knew her husband. Her late husband was a wonderful man, a great man of God. But let me show you how God operates, Brother Jones. He kept her hid and kept me hid. Because for years I'd see Brother Navarro and I'd go talk to him. And we'd laugh and talk and never met her. It's like the Lord said, I got a treasure hid. Because I know what's going to happen in the future. And my mind was made up. There's no more for me. I can't take this no more. But see, we was out on a date one night. And, you know, and the Lord spoke to me. We was laughing and just kind of, she is the most hilarious person. And we was just laughing, and I got out of the vehicle, and the Lord said, I've restored your joy. Now I'm fixing to restore your ministry. Come on, can I tell you, Parish UPC, God has seen your faithfulness, and God has seen your prayers. If as many as two or three agree as touching any one thing, it shall come to pass. It does not matter. You don't have to have a big crowd. Give me two, give me three. That'll just keep on. God's going to restore your joy. God's going to restore your strength. God's going to give you back the victories like you've never had it before. Put it back and leave it alone. You know how you tell when a woman's mad at you? They say no. Then they say no. But baby, when she talks through her teeth, I done told you no. You better run for the swamps and pray for 1,000 midnights. Because, but I'm here to tell you, Paul was writing and he types the church like a husband and wife. Come on, I'm going to tell you about the bride of Christ. She's about ready to start talking through her teeth and tell the devil, you took my joy. You're going to put it back where you got it. You took my peace. You're going to put it back where you got it. You ripped my heart out. But I'm telling you, devil, you have no authority over me. I've got authority over you. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say, well, you know, it's God and then the devil, and we have to be careful. Hogwash! It's God, the church. Because when he led, he ascended on high. But before he did, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. You have the power of God. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power of God in your mouth if you'll use it. I don't want no wimpy, limp wrist. I'm glad when I asked her to marry me, she didn't say, yo. I'm glad when I said, how you doing today? She said, good, baby. I like that feminine voice. I want to see a man act like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man. God's church, he wants them to act like the church, walk like the church, and talk like the church. You got authority. You say, I don't have authority. Oh, yes, you do. You're just not turning loose yet. You say, well, I'm not emotional. You're ugly, and your mama dressed you funny. Now tell me you're not emotional. You are. You just not got emotional about the right things. If we can get emotional about the presence of God like we used to. Remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? You didn't care what people thought. You've been set free. And so he told him, they took that ark and they laid it there. But when the morning, come on, it was not that box, but it was what was inside of that box. I don't care how weak you may feel today. I don't care how insufficient you may feel today. But I'm here to tell you, if you have the power of God inside of you, a smoking plex he will not quench. A bruised reed he'll not break. You got the authority to start speaking it out. If it doesn't work the first time, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because exercising of faith, you just keep talking about what God's going to do because God's about to do some great things. Come on, let's praise him. Well, Brother Eastridge was a missionary to the Navajos. His mother was a missionary to the Navajos for many years out in New Mexico. Brother Eastridge continued the ministry. And they was talking about how they work with devils. And I didn't know we had to have a class tell us how to work with devils. But I like, Brother Eastridge just does what I've always done. He said, one preacher said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus. Does anybody know the definition of the word adjure? Not what you think it is, the real definition. Well, I'm not the only one. Another one said, I command you. Okay, that's good. But brother, he said, I say, oh, devil, shut up. Shut up. Somebody say, shut up. Come on, this isn't politically correct. I know that. You can't even tell your kids, shut up. No, in my house I did. And when I got through spanking them, I didn't want them to feel like they was loved. I wanted them to feel like they're being disciplined. Don't misunderstand me. They play, kids will play the way they're treated at home. That's a lie. Not always true. I never one time slapped my daughter. I never one time gave her a beating. I wore her out. But she come in one day and she had her doll. She said, she field goaled it. I said, I've never done that to her. I don't know where she got it at. But it's time for the church of the living God to realize who you are. Somebody shout, put it back. Come on, the rest of you get involved. Put it back. Leave it alone. We got a lot of stuff in the house there. And they got more trinkets. There's just all kind of little things and pictures. But you know, I noticed something about the grandkids. They never go there because they've been told. I'm not going to put you in timeout. Timeout's what I'm going to take when I get through wearing you out. Uh-huh. But anymore, they say, well, you're going to make them, you know. One guy said, people misunderstand the scripture. The Bible teaches that Jesus is going to come back to make love. The Bible says he's going to come back to execute judgment on those who murmur and complain. Come on, you're a child of God. You don't have a right to murmur. You don't have a right to complain. He destroyed a whole nation because of it. Somebody hear me. We need to wake up and stir up the gift of God that's in our heart. Devil, put it back. Leave it alone. I remember sitting in church and I was just worshiping God the way I knew. You know, I was taught, Brother Bricker, I was taught with born in the fire. You act like you're on fire. Have you ever reached up and did you like to roast those marshmallows on the stove top and eat them? They're good, but be careful. That fork's hot. And when I run to the mirror and see what happened, I had 5 prongs on my tongue. I done branded my tongue. Come on, I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost is hot. It's fire. It's powerful. And if you'll turn it loose in your heart, and you'll start proclaiming. You say, but Brother Proctor, I'm dealing with some thing. Stop dealing with it. Let him deal with it. See, he's the burden bearer. I'm not. We got this thing backwards. You're not supposed to be carrying the load. He's supposed to be carrying the load. We're supposed to worship him and let him carry our load. Well, Brother Proctor, I'm involved in some things. That's all right. Repent and stop it. How do you stop it? Just shut the door. You know, there's nothing wrong. What is wrong with talking to another woman if you're a man? And whenever I asked her to marry me, and I sent out some text messages, and I said, I won't be talking no more. I'm engaged. And one moment she said, well, I've known you longer than she has. I said, yeah, but I'm not marrying you. Bye. And she said, dumb, she didn't know it. I pushed block. My wife, she doesn't friend men, and she don't talk to men. I don't friend women. I don't talk to women. My God, it's quiet in here.
How does it start? It starts by talking. And all of a sudden you get comfortable. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You get comfortable. And then you start talking about things you don't need to be talking about. If you can't stop it, turn it off. I had my mind made up. I said, you know, I'll be more effective. Brother Ronnie, you really blessed me that day. I said, you know, I thought I'd be more effective evangelizing if I was single. And you said, uh-uh. Because I found out real quick, I'm single now, and I go around people, and it's like everybody. I said, I don't know why you got a stop sign on that woman. No, not for me, baby. Even if I was looking. I'm going to tell you, the devil knows how. He can make a sea hag look like Raquel Welch. He can make a woman that is, and make a man that is so homely. I don't see how some women love some men. They don't have a shirt on. They got their calluses open, and you can tell they ain't brushed their teeth in 3 months at least. You imagine there's halitosis everywhere and be a beautiful woman. And I'm thinking, woman, you ain't sick. You love sick, and you are going to die an early death. But I've seen it like that. They don't have respect for one another. You know what pride makes you do? There are two types of pride. One pride makes you park your Lamborghini in the front of the church because you want everybody to see it. And the other part, pride makes you park your old beat-up jalopy behind the church because you don't want nobody to see it. Whatever God's blessed you with, you need to be thankful and give praise to God. Come on, when's the last time you walked through your house and you just put your hands on the walls, cracks and all, and say, I thank you I'm not living under a bridge. I thank you that I'm not living in depression. I thank you. It may not be what I want, but I'll praise you till something better comes along. Put it back. Leave it alone. Amazes me. I believe everybody ought to take care of themselves. But men and women both have got to be careful. I'm amazed at people when they lose 10 pounds, they start posting pictures. Somebody say, That ain't wise. I had one man told me one time, I could throw her out, nobody will have her. I should put her in the street and see how long it takes somebody to pick her up. You better hear me. There's an attack from hell that's attacking the church of the living God today. One of them is infirmity. And we need to take dominion over the spirit of infirmity. And I know some of it's age, some of it's various things. And then another is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. We need to take dominion over it. We need to start telling the devil, you're going to put back my joy. You're going to put back my holiness. You're going to put back my love for the things of God. I'm tired of you lying to me. Kim, am I doing all right? Well, good. If you're happy, I don't care what nobody else thinks. Except Pastor. He's the one paying me. No, I know I'm right. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. This church has been to hell and back. Come on, remember, I'm from here. We've seen everything you can imagine come our way, but it's still standing today. He said the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, but he'll get the people in the church and get you doubting yourself. He'll get you believing you can't make it. I'm here to tell you, Parish United Pentecostal Church is a great church with great people, with great leadership, and you've got nothing but ahead of you. It's the destiny of God. Devil, put it back. Leave it alone. The Philistines took the Ark of God. It wasn't a box. It's what's inside of the box. And the devil will get your mind on your health. Somebody said, what if you have cancer? I said, well, I'm going to die with something. But the one thing, Aunt Jane, I can be honest, I have no fear of death at all. My wife and I have no fear of death. We don't want to be apart from one another, but we have no fear of it. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Some laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not home. It's just a dressing place. And we're getting ready to meet him. Come on, let me just talk to you for a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost in some things here this morning. Pastor, this church and you and God developed you and your wife for this assembly, and he developed y'all for them, but God is about to rain righteousness on this church, and some of you are going to start feeling like, man, what is going on? Well, don't be afraid to ask your pastor. Now, don't get excited about asking somebody that always wants to put a judgment on you, because they can't even live it for themselves. I've seen people want to put judgment on everybody, and they got judgment falling out of their face, and then you look at them and they're not even living it right themselves. But find you somebody and say, hey, I believe you're going to make it. I believe you're going to be okay. Brother Malvin Smith, I said, Brother Smith, I heard you pray. And he said, yes, I knew the Lord needed to help you. Come on, we need some Malvin Smiths in this generation. We need some people that know how to live for God. We need some old timers. Anybody remember Sister Annie Smith? I remember, yeah. Sister Annie Smith teaching Sunday school class one time. She said, you kids think I don't know about sin. I know about sin. I was a sinner right deep in the sin. Boy, she had my eyeballs. I'm thinking, what in the world has she been doing? She said, I remember you used to take those cotton stalks and we'd go into the house and smoke the cotton stalks. I wish that's all the God we had to worry about today is smoking cotton stalks. Come on, we got every sin you can imagine. We go from transgender, homosexuality, lesbianism, and it's accepted, but it's not accepted by the Word of God. It's not accepted in the true church of the living God. Come on, we got people that they support all that junk and say, you're crazy. Come on, no, you don't. You don't support that mess. You stand firm and you say, but the Word of God says it this way. God will bless a church that'll stand up upright and do what's right. Oh, let's stand. I feel a directional change. Come on, Sister Davis. You did such a good time. We're going to keep you this morning. I forgot to turn my phone off. I don't want nobody trying to interrupt me. And I'll try. Is there somebody here this morning? You remember those days when you first got the Holy Ghost? What was the subject of conversation when you got home? How God moved. Is it still that way? Or is something else taking its place? I'm a little embarrassed to say it. I really did, Brother Griffin. You can smell my body odor. But he didn't care. My clothes were ragged. My house, my home was a shamble. But he didn't care. I was the one they called the snotty-nosed kid. But he didn't care. I was the one that they said most likely the temporary principal told me, he said, you were voted most likely to be in prison in the next 2 years, and today you're a preacher of the gospel, because he didn't care. I was the one that battled depression, anxiety, and not feeling like I'm worth anything all my life. And your Aunt Sue never said a word hardly, but as she spoke, listen, she said, John, you're better than that. And that gave me a hope to move on. Sister Proctor, the other day, she looked at me, she said, I said, why do you love me? I just want to know why. I couldn't help it. I was crying. She said, number one, you loved God. And I said, God, I want a man that'll love you. If he'll love me and love you, he will love me. She said, I wanted a man that was kind, and you're very kind. She said, and I didn't want a short man. And when you come walking through that door that night, I said, might be. Oh, thank God it was. Ladies, when's the last time you think you women battle insecurities and battle fears and battle worries? And when's the last time you got home and just put your arm around your husband and said, I want you to know you're the most important thing in this world to me? Come on, men, I want you to come up first. Come on, gentlemen, come on, come on, come on. You say, I don't have the Holy Ghost. It don't matter, I'm calling for men. When's the last time you walked up to your man and you put your arm around him and you said, you're the most important thing in this world to me? Because men battle insecurity. Men battle fear. Men battle what people think. Whether you believe it or not, we do care what people think. But gentlemen, we need men. Brother Davis, another thing that really bothers me in our churches, it's always the women that are using the gifts of the Spirit. God wants to use men. Brother Jerry, I remember watching you shout and worship before God. If people didn't know, I'm not making fun, but yeah, it looked like a war dance. But it was from your heart. I remember you with tears rolling down your face. You said, I think about where God brought me from. Society had lost hope in me. Teachers had said he'll be nothing. But God said, watch me. Watch me. I'm going to take something that's a nothing and make a somebody out of him. Come on, men, lift your hands to the Lord and have the Lord. Lord, take me back. Help me to take back what the devil's took from me. Help me to take back what the devil's took from me. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your enthusiasm? Come on, women, stand behind your man. Come on, quickly, women, come up here and stand behind your man. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at your husband. Husband, I want you to look at your wife. Look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. I want you to look at them and I want you to tell them, wife, tell your husband, you're more important to me than anything in this world. And I will stand by you. I will pray for you. Man, tell your wife, we're going to fight this fight together. I'm going to be your leader. Sister Proctor told me the other night, I was just troubled about some things. She said, look at me. Look at me. When she says that, I don't know what she means, but look at me. Yes, you're my husband. But you're my leader. Tell me it's time to pray. Tell me it's time to read the word. Tell me it's time to get a, come on, men. We gotta be men. Sweetheart, can you come up here? Thank you. Estoya aquí, mi amor. You better thank God for your family. Do you hear me? Thank God for your family. This is a praying woman. She's an altar worker. I love what I heard in one of our churches, Brother Davis. A person come by and said, I thank God for y'all's ministry. It's not mine, it's ours. The Lord and us. Ladies, pray for your man right now. Pray for him right now. Come on, ladies, pray like you know how to pray. The devil's trying to destroy your home. He's trying to destroy your joy. Tell him you can't have it. Come on, men, pray for your wife. In the name of Jesus, strengthen my wife. Use her for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Jerry, come here. Come here, buddy. Now, if you like the fish, this is the man you want to know. But if you need somebody to pray for you, this is the man that knows how to do it. But the devil has tried over the years to take away. But you got too much of your mama in you. Yes. Anybody else want to come up here and pray with us? Come on. It's open for anybody. Come on. We need to tell the devil, put back my joy and leave it alone. Put back my family and leave it alone. Brother Jim, come up here. Come here. Come here, buddy. Let me introduce you. Brother Jim, prayed for your family many years. Run roads with them. We thought we owned the neighborhood. We practically did. We fought everything. But I looked up and there was a Lester in our... And God chose you. He's as still as fresh today as ever was. You still love him like you've always loved him. And God won't let him fall. Devil, put it back and leave it alone. Brother Davis, I only know about you the times we talked, and it's always been so positive. But I'm smart enough to know you fight hell. That's because you're a shepherd. You have the heartbeat of a shepherd. And you have a very pure heart. And you love God with all your heart. I want some of you men to gather around him and pray for your pastor. Come on, gentlemen. Pray for the man of God in your life. Come on, some of you ladies, come up here and pray for Sister Davis. Come on, be quickly, ladies. God, rain righteousness upon us. Let the glory cloud of heaven hover over us today and rain upon us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. ever dream when you was a little girl running up and down the aisles of this, but someday he'd be the leading lady of the church. But God knew it. And he prepared you for it. And no weapon formed against you will prosper because he prepared you for it. Paris, get ready. God is about to shake this place like it's never been shaken. And somebody wants to be a naysayer, somebody wants to be doubtful, tell them talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. Because God is about to rain upon us.
Why don't we thank the Lord for that today? Thank you, God. Come on, really thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. God is so good to us. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not a prophet by any means, or someone who hears the voice of the Lord, but I do know, I try to be sensitive to his voice, and I do understand when the Lord tries to establish some things in the spirit, and he has done that today. Amen. He wants to establish some things. He wants to set some things in order, and God has a way of doing things that we can't see now, but it has future meaning. Amen. I thank God for that word today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We love and appreciate Brother and Sister Proctor so much. Thankful for their voice in Jenna and I's lives, and God is so good to us. And we love you folks. Thank you so much for making this Sunday a part of your day. And again, if you are a guest today, God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. We pray something was said that blessed your soul today. Amen. May God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for coming to church. And please don't forget midweek this Wednesday night. Please don't forget that. He may mention that again, something Wednesday night. And, of course, next Sunday morning, Brother Ken Smith, my pastor in my life, will be with us this coming Sunday. You don't want to miss that service. It's going to be a great day here at 10 o'clock next Sunday. Amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Shake someone's hand, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Wednesday night in Jesus' name.